This is going to be a bad disease. Bubonic plague is the Black Death, the Black Plague of Europe. Everybody wondered why Nostradamus, for instance, did not succumb. Because Nostradamus took silver, colloidalized silver and gold. So he not only had an immune system, but this is something you do not build up a tolerance for. Although you can just not hit anything hard enough and it's going to become more resistant. And you're going to create other little side bothersome problems. So you're going to find probably as this gets spread around that you're going to hear nothing but about colloidal silver. And that's very valid. And it doesn't take a much of a saturation or much of a colloid for it to be effective. But if you take enough to hit a bad disease, you're going to need something stronger than those weakest solutions that they're peddling out there and putting a little yellow food color in. I'm not saying that the product is worthless, but damn near it. First of all, your body's cellular structure will take up what it needs, and you need it. And we have put the other products that you need, and we have had a catalytic reaction that takes care of the oxysol. Taken in conjunction, you've got coverage. And the gold that we will list as a trace element will knock out that capstone, that molecule of zinc. Now one's right in here and say, you told us that fluoride and fluorine is really bad. Now you tell us to brush our teeth with fluoride toothpaste. You have to understand chemistry. And I just lost Dorma. She doesn't understand anything. Well, I didn't ask her to understand chemistry. You will have some of the heavier elements that are total poisons, lead, mercury, some of those really heavy metals that kill, can be partially neutralized by fluorine or a fluoride. And you can get enough of it to basically begin to clean up the system. You see, the liver can't handle it, the kidneys can't handle it to totally detoxify. But if you have a catalytic reaction between some of these elements, it will turn them into an oxide or into a harmless something that can then be washed out. And depending on the amount of toxicity that you are carrying, depends on how long it may take. So the ideal thing is, since these things, what are you going to call this? Gaiacol? Gaia living colloidal?
Yes.
Gaiacol. And the oxysol, which we have now put together the formula that will release iridium and rhodium. Just enough. So in that, it completely takes whatever you're doing and it does its own thing. And it's interesting to watch. It is fascinating to watch. Kind of terrifying to watch, especially if you don't know what you're doing. You produce a totally harmless solution, but your bodies are so depleted in gold and silver, that mineral. Mononuclear gold in the white powder, it weighs nothing. It weighs less than nothing. It already ascends, if you will. But it's still in powder form that will, you know, seek its own density. So it will, you can contain it. But it is the last mono cell of gold. And gold is the carrier of life. But it also knocks out the zinc molecule that holds a virus cap on. I don't believe that I would trust pneumonic plague virus to a colloidal silver solution alone. It might get it. If you can put it on directly, it will kill it. But to have to work through, you know, a bad infection and being unable to give an intravenous drip, if you could treat yourselves, you could give an intravenous drip, say, add this to Giandriana and give it IV. Or if you have bled and you gave it as an IV solution like you would a Ringer's lactate or something for re-moisturizing, rehydrating the body, you could knock it out in 20 minutes. The crisis would come, it'd be over. But they're not going to let you do that, are they? I can only suggest that you, in your survival equipment, manage some way to get someone who can order you some supplies of intravenous tubing setups. You can get them, and they can be sterilized. I think that from Greg, you ought to try to get that autoclave. He doesn't need it out there in the backyard, and you could use it at some point. Things that cannot be sterilized otherwise can be sterilized in an autoclave. And you may need to recycle some of this equipment. But you're going to find out that with the colloidal silver and the other things, if ones have responded, let us talk about AIDS a minute. If they have responded with Gaia, they probably will kick the entire reaction of the HIV. You see, the HIV virus is what is labeled as an identifier. They won't tell you this, but I'm telling you this. The HIV virus is the laziest cotton-picking thing in your body. It doesn't do anything. It goes behind the cell, and it vegetates. But it does interfere with the ability of your immune system to act and respond properly. So that as other things happen, you will have an increase in HIV virus reading, but it will never be the HIV virus that kills you. It will always be a Kaposi's sarcoma, a pneumonic disease, pneumonia of some kind. So when we get into medicine and we start trying to talk about AIDS and HIV virus, to me, they are the opposite end of the pole. I cannot understand what in the world has allowed the public to so foolishly accept AIDS as being an HIV disease. It's an immune system disorder. And so when you have the masses of people already into deep pellagra or beriberi, and you're so out of balance, and now the doctors have made blame sure that all of you are resistant to penicillin or the antibiotics. Well, these are simply grown molds and mildews, and most of you would be highly allergic to them in their raw form. And introducing them into your body can cause an anaphylactic reaction, and this just enhances the resistance of the bug, while you now have a massive allergy to fight, if you can fight it. And the only way to fight it is through the immune system, because now you have this massive reaction going on. So medicine has almost killed you. It's a hazard to you. And yet, if you need surgery or something, you better go get it. And I'm not here to tell you don't go get some antibiotic if you know that your neighbor just died of pneumonic plague. I suggest you get right down there with the rest of them and begin to get your antibiotic, because you're not going to be allowed treatment that would save your life. Now, let me tell you, I won't tell you about this, because I've written about it and I've copied out of the paper, and I think you need to get it in its proper form. But we'll talk about Mr. Breen. Mr. Breen of Tehachapi made spotlight news. No, I'm going to tell you about it, because it's all mixed up. It's all mixed up with the farm union, with the endangered species, and it's Tehachapi. And it's interesting. This young man, I believe 27 years old, came down with a bad cold. But in 3 days, he was so sick, they took him to the hospital. Very good, right over here. He is really sick, and his lungs are filled. And for goodness sakes, they were able to see that he had an active, just overblown infection process going on. They weren't sure what it was. But then it had all the symptoms of plague. So they moved him into the Kern County Medical Center in Bakersfield by ambulance. His father picked up his medical records, put them in his car, and went. He parked and went in. When he went for the medical records, his car had been broken into and nothing in that car taken but the records. They are gone. Nothing else in the parking lot bothered. Only the medical records on this young man. Now, if that doesn't tell you the whole story right there, then we are too dense to go on. And so pretty soon, the government's into it, everybody's into it. But this is serious. This is getting right onto your mystery disease. Well, your little deer mice, your little kangaroo rats, your little Mojave ground squirrels all live in the same area. Now, I'm telling this one for a very good reason. As you move into Canada, in some of the little bit higher country, you're going to run into the same types of little rodents. And if they introduce this plague virus, they plan to introduce it all over. I mean, you've got to have a pandemic before you can be effective, you see. And pretty soon people are going to realize they don't have to have AIDS. And especially as colloidal silver gets a little better known, it's going to probably, you know, through the AIDS community, they're going to start taking it and it's going to start clearing up their AIDS. Well, now what are you going to do with that homosexual community that they want to get rid of? So they've got to hit you with something else. And they're always ready. The one thing that bothers me is smallpox. There is a virulent strain of smallpox that they perfected probably 20 years ago, and they have it on the hoof. And smallpox wiped out the Indians. So you've got a situation where you can be vaccinated for the typical smallpox that would be hitting. But now they have a virulent strain, and the reason that you have not seen it surface is they do not have a way to stop it. And they never produce things for you that they don't have a way of controlling for themselves.
Are you there, Court?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear okay?
Yeah, we hear loud and clear.
Thank you. Excuse us, Commander. We lost him on the other line.
We have to quietly work, make things available as we can, always taking into full consideration the possibilities of them coming in to see what the soup you're doing. One said, well, why don't you just go out? We could make an absolute killing in this world with all this information. No, you won't. You'll get it stopped. And at this point in our evolvement, we are not interested in making great bundles of money. Now, I hear all of you say, well, I am. And we could have our plant, and we could do our this, and we could do our that. Well, you can also get stopped. And I have to remind all of you that this isn't a cult. This is not a group. This is where we are trying to bring the word. And that makes everybody mad enough at us. But it isn't like it's a big social gathering or it is a big you owe me and we're going to go out and make tons of money and become the industrial giants of the world. You'll get killed. And yes, we do need those things. And yes, they will come. But we have to kiss all those frogs before we can find the prince. And so we can go right back to last Tuesday in Nevada at a parole hearing. Talk about surprise. We can do a lot of talking and a lot of mail goes, but there is nothing like looking at Ron Jackson's face when he sees everybody. And it was not missed on him. He knew I was sitting there watching him. There comes a time when you need to have a confrontation man to man. Can he do what he says? Will he do what he says? That is not one of the problems. You have to be discerning. But always, anyone willing to change, an open mind, willing to accept, and finally begins to get the picture, these people will become what they need to become. We never underestimate the overmind ability to control. And I know I don't even like the term control because, I mean, this would really be objectionable if it came in this sense, say to Ron Jackson, oh, you think the overmind is going to control me? I am one of the overlords. BS. The overmind can control every overlord you ever thought of. So we can do whatever is necessary to be done. And if this old place cannot hang together, then we can go somewhere else. Because God can create. God does create, and until you can understand that you have that potential capability and are using it, whether you realize you are using it or not, you're still around, you're still here, and you're pretty healthy. And I just really, I don't think that you can even comprehend how interesting it is that I could make that statement. Because you are the enemy of God's enemy. But you're still around. And I can also guarantee you that given its time to make its complete circle, its complete spiral, the ones who have tried their best to do you in for their own greedy purposes will fall. They will fall. Jim Guy Tucker will fall. He has been indicted. Jim Guy Tucker is dying of liver disease. If he doesn't have a liver transplant by the end of summer, he's going to be dead anyway. But now they're going to get him on criminal activities. And he's going to wish he had worked with us. Now, I know that you ones are trying to decide in your mind, should I be happy and applaud? Or should I pretend that, oh, well, I just pray for his soul? BS. I'm gonna applaud. you don't understand God. God has enemies. He can take care of the enemies. You are his creations, and you have to take care of that which is in your world to take care of. And it doesn't mean that you can go off and just shoot everybody. You can't shoot everybody. My God in heaven, children, look what they did in Oklahoma City. That was a laser. You had like four operations coming off there at once. When the government found out, when the BATF and that bunch found out what was going on, this poor little guy who was going to have a little fertilizer blow up and make a scene because of Waco out on the front porch, they went in there and strung. Now, this was right in the nursery area. They strung bombs on every supporting column, so they would be sure to get the babies. They were going to explode this before 9 o'clock because people would have dropped their babies off and they would have gone on, some of them, to other buildings to work. They did not plan on so many people, but they couldn't tell time really good either. And the first bomb would detonate the other simultaneously. But they had the black helicopters over the building, and they knocked it off with lasers. And what are they having to do now? We are working on scoping the power of lasers. It's all in the news. They sheared the front of that building off. Dug a hole deep enough with a laser to dump it in. And you need proof? Look at the rooftop. It is blown clear. Look at the rooftops of the buildings in South Korea where they had this little gas explosion that again took out the grade school. God help you. It is your children. That is the only way left. The only way left to reach through to you. You are so violence oriented that it's your babies they have to get you with. The night before the bombing, members of the BATF were warned. None of them were in the building the next morning. They were told they are taking the building out in the morning. Do not go to work. That's what you're up against. Your government is responsible for the gassing in the subway system in Japan. So the Japanese did have a hand in the Oklahoma bombing. They really did. They had input. But ones would like to say, oh, well, you know, Mr. Kiyosaki came over here and lit the fuse and blew up. No, it's never that simple. And they have the scapegoats. They've got the patriots and the militias. And you've always got like Brigadier General Olson who says, ah, yes, just come on, you know. We're not for violence, but look at my AK-47. My absolute, very thoughtful advice would be, don't do it. It isn't worth it. You're going to be under the surveillance camera all the time, no matter what. Why push it? If you like to play war games and dress up in your camouflage kitty uniforms and go out there and shoot at each other, I guess do it. You know, some of you really enjoy this whole let's go out on a weekend and shoot paint bombs at each other. Why? What possible pleasure could you get out of hitting your brother, you know, with a paint wad? It's kids. let's go with our BB guns. And I'll see how many times I can hit you without hitting you in the eye so Mama's mad. It's the violence mentality. And the little children have to live in this environment until they also have to be built up to the point that they can withstand the violence. And now you have almost a full generation of children who are just hateful. They daren't trust anybody. They've been so painfully abused in every way. But sometimes, absolutely, physical abuse is the least of their problems. Right through the television cartoons. Now, I don't know how you avoid living in this world. You can't. And if you go out into the backwoods and think you're going to just not know, and it'll leave you alone, remember, your children have to face the world sometime. You can't run away from it. They cannot run away from it. Because what are they going to be then when they are thrown into it? Well, then give us the miracle. What do we do? There ain't no miracle. It is going to be bad. And on these satanic holidays, like now, I said it, I meant it. Turn on your security lights and leave them on at night for a few nights here. They are celebrating Cinco de Mayo, which is a Hispanic holiday, for May 5th. Yesterday. They kind of joined it with something else, and it was the biggest gathering of Hispanics today. And it went off smoothly, and it was parade time and drunk time and everything, and they had 900 extra officers on, and it went smoothly. Meanwhile, they're planning all this big black celebration in Watts. And then you're getting the Vietnam thing, you're getting Korea. May 1st is the most satanic, one holy, unholy, whatever you want to call it, day of the year. It is May Day. It is Satan's Day. It surpasses in violence and sacrifice and world takeover Halloween by far. So you'll be getting the repercussions of this May 1st for a long time under the cover. You won't see it. But those babies that they sacrificed in Oklahoma City were children for a reason. Satan likes your babies. They like especially the little boy child babies. These are sneaking, yellow, slimy cowards that would pick on children. It is terror in its worst form, and you've entered the world of terror. Watch your children. Watch your pets. They will taunt you, tease you, because they are miserable slime scum suckers. I'm not saying to withdraw from life. I am saying watch. Keep your eyes open. And don't think it can't happen to you. Now, along these lines, I would like to mention that Dave Overton is doing superbly well. He takes his belt, he takes his stuff, he does exactly what we've asked him to do. And in his 80s now, he is on his feet, and he is out working most of you in here. He says, well, I didn't get much exercise today. So-and-so came over, and we only worked until midnight. But I'm sleeping a little better, etc. And then he wants to talk about a few bad choices he's made. One main one being George Green and that money. That really bothers him. So he asks about, and this man is a professor. He is a teacher of mathematics. So Dave Overton is not just some little guy running around in Texas, you know, getting old. He's sharp, he's bright, he knows what's going on. And he said, how come I just do these dumb things like I did with George Green? Well, you know, the next question is this karma? What do you think, sir, about karma? I don't think about karma. You can accept karma or you can say, out. Each has a lesson to be learned or you wouldn't be back. Each has more growth to be made or you wouldn't be back. Obviously, if you're going to come back, you're going to emotionally, physically, soul-wise, work on some aspect that maybe you didn't do so well in before, and, oh, well, I didn't do so well, I can go back and I can brush up a little on that course. But I will also use John Schrafer as another example. His marriage was interesting at the very least. But he had a nice channel who seemed to know everything tell him, oh, well, you are in this environment because of something you did to this one way back, you know, three lifetimes ago, and you are paying. Oh, my goodness, barf. If you want to take that kind of a sentence on yourself, you go right ahead. But that is the biggest bunch of malarkey. And for somebody else to, I mean, that would be like Dorma just picking anybody out of the audience, Ed Cleary back there. You've got to pay now three more lifetimes because you were a priest.
Good. And new sister Charlotte.
Well, Ed Cleary probably say, yeah, I'm yours too. I understand the system. And that's exactly the way it is with karma. Nobody, except you and God, knows what, if you want to call it karma, you might have. Certainly no soothsayer. And no offense to any of you who play in the stars. There are a lot of magic secrets and realistic truth in the stars. So don't think because I say go out there and listen to your astrologer and walk into the side of a Mack truck. If you use these things as tools, they can contribute to your overall understanding of yourself and the way life unfolds. Because there will be, if you're born in October or whatever month, you may have characteristics of others born at that time. Very frequently, what you don't understand and what is never mentioned is that groups of people will reincarnate for various and sundry reasons, and so they may very well be simultaneously under a given star sign. Just remember that from where I reside, when I'm in Pleiades, the entire star system is different from yours. Al says to me one day, what is that big W up there in the sky? What big W? Well, over there. Well, he's talking about Cassiopeia. But there's no big W from where I'm looking. Take these things for the value that they have, the pleasure they give you, the insight they offer. But do not base your life on somebody else reading your chart. They may have an off day. Maybe you're supposed to be hit by a Peterbilt truck. Use your heads. God gave you brains. And that's what karma might very well be. Never mind even the brain. That is a computer that runs your body. It runs your system. And I have terrible news for you. I wrote about it recently, and now a lot of you saw it on Siding, didn't you? They're growing, literally growing brain cells on computer chips, on silica. And they can now take pictures of it, and then they can begin to replace your body. And the biggest worry they have is that these robotoids may begin to feel that the human being is very dangerous to their survival. And they've got it in their brain to prove it. It is now a computerized brain with brain cells growing on the crystals. Interesting, isn't it? Why do you think that's coming out now? Because there is so much of this already perfected, like the last half century, that they've got to get you ready for it to hit you in the face. And these chips that can be introduced into the brain by laser, I know I'm real good at it, literally grow to become part of the brain. So it's not as simple as going in there and having a surgeon nip it out. It becomes part of the brain. But none of it can touch the soul. Now, isn't that the most fascinating thing? Only you can give up your soul. It can be taken away from you if you listen to the brain and they feed enough garbage in there faster than you get the upper hand. You keep that soul attached to God and there's nothing they can do to it. They can confuse your thinking, they can, but if you are attached to God through that spiritual soul, you are sheltered. And I know it doesn't seem like it. And I'm not a preacher. I don't believe in your Bibles. Your Bibles were written by those who wanted to control you. And every time it came necessary, they wrote something else in there to control you. And I know that the Christians in good people will just say, I throw that garbage out. Don't even go listen to that woman over there. Well, I don't mind that. She objects every now and then. Don't blame me, big boy, for your mouth. But I felt that when we reached that point, when she said, I cannot be responsible for what you say, I thought we had it made. We're going to finally make it. So I'm sorry that it comes out of a feminine voice, because that's confusing to your enemy who wants to just pull you down. They can say, well, you know, I went over there and met that commander and, you know, it's about a 63-year-old woman. No, it's not. And I don't have a cult. And if you ever hear of me having a cult, anywhere, a group, anywhere. And Commander came through Joe Blow and said, be very careful because I do not play those games. And usually what will happen is someone will write and say, I was over to see Joe Blow. Or Joe Blow will write and say, was that you? If it's me, you know it. Everybody understand that? If it's me, you know it. And I do not contradict my own program. So we just have to understand that God is speaking to all of you. We each have a different mission. And it is no lesser that someone else be a teacher. But for our mission right here, I have to keep her as unconfused as possible while we write about every subject on your globe. Don't miss David Copperfield. This is an extremely talented young man. And you will notice that this year he's doing his program on ghosts and the far out on May 1st. Now, isn't that interesting? This man studied with the teachers and masters of the Far East. He learned to disperse his own cellular structure. So, yes, most of what he does is a total illusion. Some of the things he does that seem more impossible are not. Vanishing things is an illusion. Some of the things that he does with his physical body are not. Now, let us talk just briefly about that. And I would ask the ones of you that know Dorma better, you know, from little private conversations, you will remember that one morning after a journey aboard ship, we had her sit and write about her experiences. Usually she will not remember. But she woke up that morning, or I got her up, let's put it that way, about 2:30 in the morning, and asked her to write. And she realized she couldn't hear out of one ear. And once again, all of you think, oh, well, my ears are plugged, it's altitude, or I'm coming down with a cold, or whatever. And I realized that we had a problem. So as morning came, I said, all right, we just stop right now, and I want you to write everything that you're going to remember about the prior evening and in the night. You have to understand that it looks pretty good to go through a light beam. And why would anyone bother to try to prepare you for, quote, ascension? Well, what your little gurus will tell you about ascension is not. And how many have you seen literally do it? Oh, well, I saw a Swami levitate. How far? 6 inches. Well, you got to go farther, because the sky is going to be crowded that day if you've got to get through light beams. And teleportation, this isn't far out anymore. This was a discussion just yesterday. They are talking about teleportation of packages through UPS.
Yep, that's right.
Or being able to call a restaurant and through, if you have a receiver, etc., you can receive a meal. Now, isn't that interesting? If you think that they can send a picture, whatever you would be sending in a package, but look what they can do with a fax machine. You put a piece of paper over here in this machine, and it comes out perfectly printed over here on this one. 3,000 miles away. I think that's pretty good. You can sit, turn on this button up here, and put in a tape, or pick up the right channel if you're on the cable, and you get a pretty picture in full color. What is reality? What in the world is reality? If you can grow brain cells and program them on a crystal in a laboratory, and you can teleport packages, don't you think that they know how to teleport you?
Can we stop for a change of tape, please?